Hello and welcome everyone here in front of Calorego Hall, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We are here live for the DU Beats first annual hard copy release party here in front of Calorego Hall in collaboration with the Tuxedo. So come on out, get yourself a free copy, get some free pizza as well.
You know, Brandon, it's a lot of fun to be here. Most of the time, you and I are on the air, which we're broadcasting live right now. Most of the time, we're on the air for sporting events. It's nice to just sit out here in front of Calorega, have some free pizza, read the newspaper, and read everybody's stories that they've written and worked so hard on this semester for the beat.
Yeah, most definitely. We have some great, interesting stories here, especially you, Force, your first hands-on experience for the Fire. But first here, we want to talk about the DU Beat and how hard these writers have worked out throughout this year, but we are going to get on the maestro for the DU Beat, and that's our own professor, Miss Stephanie Hendricks.
Well, it's an honor to be here. I just want to say this whole hard copy business was Stuart Horn's idea. We were sitting in a faculty meeting, and we were trying to figure out, I was bemoaning the fact that nobody knows about the beat. And he said, well, you know, you really need a hard copy. And so, voila, now Stuart's idea has manifested, and now we're on the air on Stuart's Penguin Radio, so this is really all about Stuart. I just want to say what an honor it's been to work with the fall 2017 digital journalism class. You guys have been awesome. Yes, I'm clapping. Really heroic. We had some great highlights this year. You guys, Brandon here was able to make contact with the communications director for the Golden State Warriors. And Brandon, do you want to share with the story of that, what happened with that?
Yeah, sure. So the journalism class took a trip to the Golden State Warriors earlier this year, and we got in contact with the head of the communication department there, Mr. Theo Ellington. We were able to take a tour of the whole Oracle Arena. We got to see the ins and outs, and we also got free tickets to watch a preseason game against the Sacramento Kings. And what was cool about that is we got to see a fellow Dominican alumni, Warriors player development and assistant head coach Chris DeMarco, a former business major here at Dominican.
That is really great. And I just want to point out it was part of doing the journalism, right? We were interested, you're interested in having a career in doing communications for sport groups. So we thought, okay, let's see if we can get an interview with the communications director for the Warriors. And that's the way the journalism class works. You can pursue your interests. I know Cheyenne Sykes is interested in Marvel Comics, and so she's been reviewing the movies and also trying to get in touch with Stan Lee, who is the Marvel comic kingpin. And so the journalism class is a place where you can pursue your interests and you can have an excuse to call up complete strangers and ask them questions and do stories on them and also refine your writing skills. And I think all you guys really stepped up to the plate this semester, and then of course culminated in this new hard copy of the Dominican Beat. We partnered with the Tuxedo Literature and Art Journal, and I want to give a shout out to Isabel Pannier for her layout on this. She did such a good job. Yay, Isabel. And also Ashley Moreta for being our editor. There she is.
Most definitely,
go Ashley.
Yes.
I want to give a big thanks to this fall semester. Hopefully we'll do this every semester and maybe even more than that. And I just want to encourage students to come take journalism, because you can do anything you want in terms of venturing in the world through journalism.
Yeah, and I just want to say here, Stephanie is great, guys. Come on to the journalism class. She never hinders your creativity, opens you up to whatever topic you want to talk about and write about and put it on the beat. She's really open to anything. So come check out the journalism class, grab a free copy, and hopefully sign up for next semester as well.
Thank you so much, Brandon. The check will be in the mail. Okay, is it time for your next guest?
Yeah.
Okay, who is it? Kat?
Yeah.
Ashley, let's give it a big round of applause for the editor of the Dominican Beat, Ashley Moreta.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. Now, we just wanted to talk a little bit about your editing work.
Okay.
And how big of a job and how let us know how it is being the editor of the Dominican Beat, and just tell us a little bit about the work that it requires. Because I don't think a lot of people know what editors really do.
That's a great question. It definitely is a little nerve-wracking because you're looking at your peers' articles and writing, and you want to bring out the best in them and help them bring out the best in their work. But you also don't want to step on any toes or limit their creativity. I will say that I wasn't necessarily perfect when it came to rubric, but when it came to trying to make pieces flow and help get the work out and have people look at it with respect and be viewed by peers in a good way, that was sort of my goal, just to help the writing, be well presented.
All right, now let us know. I know you didn't get to write as many stories as the rest because you were busy editing the beat, but what was the favorite story that you got to work on this semester?
You mean of somebody else's?
Of your own.
Of my own. That's a good question. I did like the financial literacy piece that I did.
And what was that about?
It was basically about college students saving for retirement. Is it worth it?
And what have you found? Is it worth it?
Well, I think it is, especially since if you read in the article, which I brought it just so that I could get the numbers right. For example, if you're 20 years old and were to put away $1,000 a year, which is approximately $83 a month, at a 7% return, they would have saved $329,000 by the age of 67. So compared to somebody who's 30, they will have saved only $94,000 compared to, which is basically a $200,000 difference. So the earlier you save, the more money you're going to have later.
That sounds great. All right, everybody, make sure you pick up a copy of the Dominican Beat, first hard copy here right in front of Calarega. And thank you, Ashley. Make sure you read Ashley's financial literacy column.
Yes.
So that way you can find out how to save and how to have more money when you retire.
Please do. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, Brandon, who's next?
Next, we have Kat, one of our writers here.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. How about you, Kat?
I'm doing very well, actually. I'm really excited about this release.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the work you've done. And let's talk about what article you got published on the newspaper.
Yeah, I did an article called Need Some Fresh Air, and it's really about some hiking trails that are available for people at Dominican, really close, and I give you a few links to see. It's like this app called All Trails where you can go onto that app and put your zip code in, and it'll show you a bunch of trails all around campus, or not campus, but like there's one trail behind campus called the Fire Trail that's really popular.
Yeah, it's really nice. I've been up there one time coming over here transferring, and it's such a great hike up there. It's a long one and a great one.
Yeah, no, it's really good. And I think there's like sometimes people gather together and make group hikes, because that's a great idea if you want to go with a bunch of friends and just go up there and bring some snacks and just sit there and chill. Yeah.
Yeah. What are some of your other favorite pieces that you've worked on this year other than the whole trail thing that you just talked about?
Well, I'm big on hiking, and I did another piece called Hike for Heads. It's about my friend who hiked the Pacific Crest Trail. He had a traumatic brain injury, so he used that trail as a way to heal himself. And if you meet him in person, he's super coordinated and really, you wouldn't think that he had a brain injury because he's so, through meditation and hiking, he healed himself. And I feel like that's one of my favorite pieces.
Yeah, and if there was anything you'd say you'd take away a really essential skill from this journalism class, what would you say it is?
I definitely learned a lot of interview and research skills, especially how to reach sources and contact people to get more information for articles, because I love investigative journalism and I love to dig deeper into things like for just certain things about we learned a lot about how to reach out to people and then support our stories with like actual facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like Stephanie said, as a journalist, we have that excuse of just getting to bug people in that sense. Well, Kat, thank you so much for coming on and talking about your story.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, have a nice day.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you. As we will take a quick break here before we bring off our next guest, which will be Allie coming up next. But this is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, and on San Rafael on FM 102.3. The DU Beats first hard copy release party this year associated with Tuxedo. Before her girl touch anything,
she gotta say please. Say please. And I know they really wish we would ball till we fall on the big bad wolf. Is a full moon, y'all. Talk the money in the acre. Watch how your dreams hit the floor. Wait till I get the buzz off this drug. Damn, girl, you way too fine for a local club. Killing someone's vibe should be a fucking crime. Wasting someone's time should be a. So back to what I was saying.
All right, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to Penguin Radio live in front of Calarega Hall for the Dominican Beats hard copy release party. I have Allie with me. Allie, we're going to talk about your story on how to save the planet.
Yes, this story was actually inspired by a documentary. It's actually called Cowspiracy. It basically talks about animal agriculture and the effects that it has on our planet. It is something that is a very serious topic and I'm very passionate about, and I decided to write a story about it. So I took some sources from Cowspiracy, basically got inspiration from them, and then yeah, I wrote this story and I really like it.
So are you not eating any meat as well?
I tried not eating meat, but I learned very quickly that you have to be very educated when it comes to cutting out that type of meat products, because since it is in our everyday meals, it is something that's very traumatizing to your body when you give it up, you know? So I did end up getting a little sick from it, but right now I cut out red meat, so I'm starting off slow, and then hopefully within 2018 I can be full veganism.
That's awesome. Now, what are some statistics that you found with eating meat, and what can help us save the planet? What did you find in your research?
In my research, I have learned that about 80% of the emissions is from animal agriculture. I've learned that about 50% of our water is gone to animal agriculture, and also that 91% of our Amazon that is cropped is due to animal agriculture. It's basically they cut down our Amazon. I believe it was 3 acre or 30 acres every couple seconds or something like that, and an acre is basically the size of a football field. So it's something that's very serious, and I wish that people would care more about it.
That's awesome. So anybody that wants to learn more about how to save our planet and by not eating meat, go ahead and grab your copy of The Beat and read Allie's story about how to save the planet.
thank you.
And we are back here in front of Calrega Hall, introducing our next guest here, another one of our DU Beat reporters here, Madeline Sabin.
Hey, it's actually Madeline.
Madeline, yeah. Maddie, we call her Maddie.
Madeline's
so.
A French cartoon character.
Yes. Well, Maddie, one of your stories here talks about public versus private schools here locally in Marin, and it's published on the hard copy of the DUB. You want to fill in our audience about that?
Yeah, so there is a local public middle school here called White Hill Middle School. Recently, a charter school kind of moved onto the campus. It was protected legally under California Proposition 39, but there's a big battle in Marin County right now between a lot of the parents groups and Ross Valley Charter. So there's a grassroots community organization that was founded called Stand. This is taken from their websites. They define themselves as a grassroots community organization working to protect and promote the health of our well-performing distinguished district schools. We share a strong desire to provide a robust social, emotional, and academic program benefiting all children in our district. Stand is encouraging parents to keep our schools and community strong by enrolling their children in district schools. Stand is also asking taxpayers to question the transference of public money from a well-run district to a charter that both our local and county school boards found to be financially risky and inadequately managed. So
So basically what that means is they don't think that this charter school is rightfully there. Mm-hmm. And that they're taking some of the public taxpayers' money and not handling it appropriately.
Yeah, and talk about the process of trying to get that interview. I know you took a while to get a response from them. How did that go initially?
Well, so they actually responded really quickly. I met with two women who were members, but I think just they're both moms of two kids that are in their, I'm not going to say on the radio where their children go, and I'm not going to say their names, but they are affected by this charter school. So the part that took a while, I think, was just both of us getting in a room together to have the interview.
Yeah, yeah.
But they actually allowed me to film them. So for my documentary class, I did a short documentary on this as well.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, you said you had a personal connection with the school as well?
Yeah, my brother-in-law works for White Hill Middle School. So that's how I got involved and heard about this going on. Also, if you are driving around Marin County, you'll probably see these big yellow signs that say stand. So that's what this is. And I'm not sure exactly what's happening with it right now. This is kind of an ongoing battle of a lot of the parents in the public school versus the charter school. Because the last I heard, Ross Valley Charter didn't actually have as many students as they originally proposed to the district.
Yeah. And this was honestly a really great story here, really sharing awareness on this and a local topic here in Marin. Other than this, what other articles do you think you'd want to share and you're most proud of working in the class this year?
I think this one is probably my best because it's the most serious, because other than that, I did just some opinion pieces. One that I think is interesting is talking about Amazon. Amazon is currently looking for new headquarters. Mm-hmm. And if that were to come here in the Bay Area, that would drastically affect all of us, but in probably a good way, because they're promising like over 1 million jobs. And that would mean a lot of jobs for us new to be recent grads.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Maddie. Thanks
of
for
course.
Coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Oh, man. What a great day it is out here, everybody, in front of Calarega on radio.dominican.edu. A worldwide broadcast celebrating the hard copy of the beat.
Woo!
Yes. And the tuxedo's here. And it's just an incredibly perfect day and free pizza. And how much better could it be? Penguin Radio, 17 years, 24/7, live on the air worldwide. Today, just another wonderful broadcast. Well, our first segment there was pretty good. Lots of cool guests telling us all about the beat and all about their articles that were written. And now we have a couple of new DJs for the next round of interviews. And here is Kat, everybody.
Hey, I'm Kat. I'm here representing the Dominican Beat Journalism class. And this is Alex. He's representing the Tuxedo.
Hello. Hi. What's going on, everybody?
Ah!
Hey, so today with us, I have a guest staff member from the Tuxedo, and she was helping choose how to, which pieces to basically put in our magazine this year. And every year the process is very interesting, but today I want to I have the pleasure of introducing Cammie.
Hi, Cammie. So can you tell us a little about the piece that you contributed to the paper?
I was actually not a contributor to this season's fall issue, but we did have many students contribute from different programs throughout the college, and also we reached out to the creative community in Marin, and we had a lot of interesting pieces from people from all different walks of life.
So these people didn't go to Dominican, or?
We do reach out to the larger community to receive submissions from just the creative community at large.
Okay, cool. Who normally contributes? Is it anyone from the art department, or is it anyone on campus? How do they find Tuxedo, and how do you reach out to them?
We do try to do a lot of on-campus promotion as well as just throughout Marin. Word of mouth is definitely a big avenue for reaching out for more submissions. We do accept submissions from all different kinds of people. This issue, we had significantly less submissions, so I would like to reach out to the Dominican community and let everybody know that
you know, if no matter what you're studying, we do want to hear your creative voices.
Yeah, that's great. How do you, so where can we find the tuxedo? And it's online, right?
That's correct.
And how can people submit to you guys?
You can submit all of your submissions to Tuxedo Arts Journal at dominican.edu.
Cool. Do you have any, what type of artwork and what type of pieces can be displayed on the tuxedo?
Once again, we accept all different kinds of media, whether it's photography, illustration, painting. We accept audio as well, prose, poetry. So we have a pretty open open view of what we can accept for the journal.
Can you tell me a little bit about how what are the most popular pieces that are on there right now? Do you know who contributes the most to the tuxedo?
I would say that right now our current issue features a lot of pieces submitted by our English majors here at the university. But we did receive a good amount of poetry pieces as well, especially in light of the recent events in Northern California. There was a lot of pieces that reflected sort of feelings about, you know, current events.
I'm so glad that people have like a good creative outlet to share their experiences. Alex, do you have any questions for her?
Yeah. As this is your first year on the Dominican Tuxedo staff?
Correct.
How was that experience for you?
I enjoyed it. Once again, I would just like to reach out to the Dominican community and let everybody know that we are looking for more staff members. Not only just in the English program, but anybody who's looking for sort of a creative outlet or wants to have their voice heard or be a part of this process, we are currently looking for more staff members.
So how do people join? Is this a club or a class, or how do people get into the tuxedo right now?
So it is a class. It's a one credit class. And you can join that through self-service.
And the registrar. Oh, okay. So, you did say briefly that you had a shortage of pieces this year, but reading through your selection, you still had a lot of great pieces to sift through, and a lot of great pieces that were submitted. Which one personally, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be definitive, but what were some of your favorites from this selection?
I really enjoyed some of the pieces that came from some of my colleagues here at Dominican University. I thought it reflected people's different experiences here at Dominican very well, so I thought that was very interesting.
Okay. I'm just really glad to see that you're out here promoting, because I think it is important that we do have a lot of people engage with this, because it's not, you would agree that it's not just about being an English major, it's just about the high quality of the work. That would you say that it's a platform for everyone?
I would say it definitely is. I think that's kind of the beauty of Tuxedo, is that it's so diverse, and because, you know, we really have such a open arena for submissions, we get a lot of different types of work. So,
well, I'm so glad that you could come and talk to us and talk about your experience with the tuxedo, because I do think it's important for us to start talking more and be more open about the tuxedo. So I just wanted to thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're at the inaugural launch of the Dominican Bee and Tuxedo print issue, and you've been listening to radio.dominican.edu at 102.3 FM. Hey, I'm Kat, and if you're just listening in, we're at radio.dominican.edu at 102.3 FM, and we're here at the inaugural launch of the print edition of the Dominican Bee and Tuxedo collaboration, and we have Forrest here, and he's one of the journalists at the Dominican Bee.
Thank you. It's nice to be back on air.
Can you tell us a little bit about your piece and what it's about?
Yeah, totally. My piece was about the fires that hit Santa Rosa and Napa counties, and it actually happened in my neighborhood, which was interesting. I was here the night before and heard everything that was going on, and actually went up and saw some of the aftermath the day of. So it was really interesting.
Like, how did it affect you, like, emotionally? I'm sure you write about this in the paper, but please give us a little excerpt.
Yeah, totally. It was tough emotionally. I mean, when you go home and your neighborhood is gone, you know, it's a little tough. Fortunately, my house was still standing when I got there, so that was a sigh of relief, you know. All my neighbors were gone, so right. My fence was a little burnt, so that's...
So, like, the houses around you were all just destroyed?
Yeah, yep.
Wow. But, so your house was the only one that was...
Not the only one. One of about 90 in a neighborhood of 1,500.
So, what was it like when you first stepped back there? What did you take in? What was the first thing that you thought
of? Well, the first thing that you realize is that you can't really see the sun. There's a ton of smoke in the air. I know it was smoky down here. Me and people down here wearing face masks, and it was even worse there, as you can imagine. But the sun, you know, is a little, it's dark orange, almost like a red due to the smoke.
I remember
and
that.
Yeah, houses are still smoldering. You know, you're driving through the neighborhood and houses are still kind of on, not on fire, but smoldering because of the heat. It's a sight.
What was it like, the smell and like everything? Was it just a lot? Like,
yeah, it was awful, as you can imagine. Think about anything that you have in your house, all the aerosols, all the scented, all that just, it's all released into the air and all the chemicals in the air. It was terrible. It was terrible air quality. Yeah.
Wow. So have you been there recently?
Oh yeah. I go back every weekend, and you know, they're starting a cleanup process. So they're excavating people's properties, and they've gone in there and filled up semi trucks with debris and stacked people's burnt cars on properties. Right. It's horrible.
Have you talked to your neighbors recently? Have they reached out to you? Have you reached out to them? Is it, like, I heard that people were donating so much.
Yeah, actually, we actually gave a family a couch that was in need of a couch that lost their home.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was, you're just trying to help out any way you can when you're one of the few that are left. You feel a little guilty, but just trying to help out any possible way. And I know a lot of people that were thinking, oh, we're just going to move. You know, the neighborhood's gone. They were wanting to rebuild, which is really reassuring that they're going to come back once everything gets cleaned up.
Yeah, because you said Santa Rosa, right? Yeah, Santa Rosa was a big city, is a big city, and big neighborhood. So that must be really, I can't imagine what it's like just to be living near that right now.
Yeah, I have the statistics in the article, actually, with how many homes and businesses were destroyed. I'm not going to say a number because I don't quite remember, but I know it's in there.
It's okay.
So pick up a copy and read the whole thing.
Yeah. Alex, do you have any questions for Forrest?
Well, first off, I just want to say that was an incredible story. I'm really sorry that happened to you, but you know, I'm also glad that your house, you know, managed to stand tall. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, and I know people up there that in the neighborhood that have on the flip side of things. So
yeah,
think about them too.
Yeah, I guess my first question to you would be, how did you first hear about the fire?
I got a phone call from a friend of mine at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, you need to call your parents. And I had no idea what was going on. So that's the first time I heard about it.
What was rushing through your head?
A lot. Because when you don't know what's happening, you know.
Yeah.
I need to call my parents. Oh, okay. My mom's actually an EMT. She was on duty. So I called her and she goes, oh, yeah, I can't talk.
Was she a first responder too?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she was on duty, and then this happened, and then she's like, I just gotta go to work, and
she was already working. Oh. She was already working, and then everything hit, and everything turned on 180, and she had to help escort people out of homes and all that kind of business. So
how would you say this? I mean, you talked a lot about how this impacted the neighborhoods and the neighbors, and how, despite all the carnage and destruction, they're still wanting to rebuild. How would you say it impacted your family and you guys as a whole?
Just knowing the community, like I know we have a small community here at Dominican that is, we're all here for each other. You can go talk to any professor anytime, and I've had that personal experience. And it seems like that now, not only in my neighborhood, my immediate neighborhood, but just in Sonoma County and Napa County as a whole, with all the destruction that's happened. Just knowing that everybody's doing their best to help those that have been affected by it. And it's really moving just to see how many people are volunteering. Like, we gave a family a couch. I didn't have a couch, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So just anything, there's places to donate. I actually have a list on there of places you can go to help if you are able to.
Do you know them off the top of your head, or?
Yeah.
I'm just asking. I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, I actually don't, but I know they're in there.
Okay, so they're in the article. So that's more incentive for you guys to read the article. I guess the last thing I kind of want to ask you, would you say that this kind of brought people together, and that
definitely,
despite differences, you know, it kind of united people?
Definitely, you know, I see people driving around with a hashtag Sonoma Strong stickers on their cars, and it's everywhere. The Sonoma Strong thing back at home is pretty strong, and it's going. It's, people are rebuilding and people are getting back to what seems like a normal life. So.
Well, it's, you know, I mean, again, I'm not trying to say that this was a good thing, but I'm glad to see that people are uniting and putting their differences aside. And
yeah.
I just want to say, like, I'm glad that you were able to tell your story, man, and
yeah,
and that
totally
everyone made it out okay, and that your house was even fine. Like, that's just so incredible.
It was a trip, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. We're going to go to a break real quick, but after... You know, we'll be right back.
Thank you, Forrest. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu at 102.3 FM. And stay tuned for more. Hey, you're listening to radio.dominican.edu and also 102.3 FM. And we're here at the inaugural launch of the print edition of the Dominican Beat and Tuxedo collaboration. It's been 6 years since the Dominican Beat has been published in paper. And we have here Izzy, one of our journalists. Can you tell us a little bit about your piece?
I wrote about studying abroad because... You know, actually, I wrote about studying abroad in Dominican because Dominican has a program. We work with ICEP, which sends people to universities all across the world. So you can go to Morocco or Hong Kong or a lot of places in Europe, which are really popular. And I went to Ghent in Belgium, which is this student city. And Belgium is this tiny little country in the middle of Europe. So no one really knows about it, but it's there. It's really fun.
So how was it there?
It was... not that hard to adjust because a lot of it is similar to here, except for things like stores would close really early and there would be nothing open on Sundays. But it's really cool and the people are generally pretty friendly, and then you can also travel pretty much because it's in the middle, so then you can just kind of go wherever. You can like take 4 hours to get to Paris by bus, or you take like another bus to Amsterdam, or you can fly to Spain in like 2 hours, so everything's really accessible and it's nice.
Can you tell us how people can look into the study abroad program if they want to?
You can go to the Global Education Office in Edge Hill Mansion, which is on the third floor of Edge Hill Mansion. You can talk to Julie about it and she will help you out.
Okay, awesome. Is there anything that you would like to share to people who are interested in the program? Like, how, like, was it easy? How is school there?
It depends for everyone because some schools are definitely harder than others. I found my courses to be fairly easy and I didn't really have a lot of class. But I think it definitely differs on the program and what you're looking for.
So can you tell us what it was like as a comm major over there?
It was cool because I actually got to visit a radio station in Brussels, so we got to see how they did stuff there. And it was interesting because everyone that worked there was pretty much a millennial. So that was pretty cool. So I would get to do things like that, or we get to, and I got to sit in on a live broadcasting of a Dutch talk show, which is weird because I also didn't understand Dutch. But yeah, that was the cool part of being a comm major. You got to do things like that, and then take like other comm classes.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for telling us more about that. Next we have Brandon. No? Yeah.
What up, y'all? What up, my main man, Alex? Hey, Kat.
Hey.
Hello again.
All right, so it's nice to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Can you tell us about your story?
Yeah, well, the one that got published on the beat is my story with Otis Taylor, a San Francisco Chronicle reporter who we had inside the journalism class. He handles East Bay News specifically and talks about, I interviewed him and we talked about the homelessness issue here in San Francisco and the entire Bay Area. He talked about affordable housing. We talked about sports and the whole national anthem deal in the NFL as well.
Yeah, I remember we had him on the air. Yeah. Do you, what was it like meeting him in person?
Man, Otis not only was knowledgeable in all those topics and social justice issues, but he was definitely a cool guy. He had some inside of him. He used to work in the entertainment industry, and I know he told us a story about Lil Wayne, but we can't talk about that on air. Talk about that on air right now. I'll tell Alex later. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's a great story. So, what was your favorite part about like meeting him, other than that story?
My favorite part about Otis is that he, having grown up in the Bay Area, he really cared about his community and really wanting to shed light on the issue of homelessness. And he developed different strategies in which one could help better that. And that actually connects to one of the subjects that I'm talking about in Mari's class here in digital storytelling. Our group has a topic on homelessness. And many people just look at the issue and they see it there, but they don't do anything about it. Right. And there's a lot of great programs here in the San Francisco Bay Area and also here in Marin in which you can volunteer and really help out and shed light on that issue.
Yeah, I'm glad that you told us about it and shared about it in the paper, because it's important for us as millennials to acknowledge that situation, because a lot of people don't realize how common it is and how easy it is to become homeless. So.
Exactly, you never know. And when you had Forrest on here, you just don't know. Like a fire like that can just leave you homeless just like that. You don't know. It can affect anyone, really.
Yeah, and it's like, so some people are so judgy, and it's so unfair and cruel for society to be that way. So thank you for shedding light on that.
Yeah, thank you.
How was your overall experience with the beat?
Oh, the beat, I really loved it. I think I've always been a writer personally, per se, and I
you liked writing.
And I wanted to really shed light on sports, and that's what I want to do. And I've gotten a chance to broadcast it, but never gotten a chance to actually write about it. And I think my passion when broadcasting comes in word form too, as I'm writing down and providing my opinion on different topics. And a topic that we talked about this year that really shed light on social justice and in sports was the whole kneeling thing, and I really took pride in that. I think athletes should take a stand and use their platform to shed light on issues that they believe are not in favor of the whole community and the whole social justice system.
I think that this is the time, like it's such a great time in life right now. Also, since you talked about sports, can you please tell us about what you did for the class?
Most
the Warriors? Definitely.
Yeah, so the entire journalism class here, and if anyone's out here, take the journalism class because you'll have experiences like this. We actually got a chance to go to the Golden State Warriors and take a behind-the-scenes tour of Oracle Arena, and we got to meet the head of communications, his assistant actually, which was, I forgot his name, but Theo Ellington.
Right.
And yeah, we got to watch the game and go on court and meet the former Dominican alumni, Chris DeMarco.
Okay, yeah, awesome. Thank you for that, because I really remember that experience and that was great. We all appreciate you, Brandon, for what you did. And so you've been listening to radio.dominican.edu at 102.3 FM. And please stay tuned for another interview. Hey, this is Kat, and we're back at radio.dominican.edu and 102.3 FM, and we're here at the inaugural launch of the print edition of the Dominican Beat and Tuxedo collaboration. And Alex here is going to introduce Amy.
Hello, Amy. This is Amy Wong. She is a English professor at our esteemed university. And next to her is Carlos Rodriguez, the now head of the entire English department. I don't think he wants to talk, but I just wanted to clarify that he's in the room. So, Amy, you've supervised the Tuxedo a few times now. You wanna just talk about your experience and what it's like to watch students kind of run an organization or, I guess, a club on their own?
Yeah, usually at the beginning, it's a little bit of setup and like assigning roles to different people. It's really important to have kind of like specialized roles so that, you know, one person's handling the emails. And a lot of that is really mundane, but it is really it's really great to see things come together at the end when students really take ownership of the duties that they've been assigned and also kind of get more confident in how you actually run a magazine. So even though it's all about creative writing and art and literature, there are also a lot of practical skills that you can learn from being part of Tuxedo.
Wow. Did Carlos want to say anything or?
No, I think what's great about Tuxedo is it allows professors in the English department to really see student work. Creative work, and then Amy also does the senior thesis and projects, so she gets to see student writing, you know, as it's developing, as it's progressing. So that one of the great things about Tuxedo for us is we get to work closely with students in a small setting.
Would you guys say that you play a more like a supervising role, or do you get more involved? I'm just wondering at the level of involvement that you guys have with the Tuxedo.
I definitely see myself as a kind of facilitator. I really want students to be able to take ownership of the particular issue they're working on. So for instance, this issue, they decided on having a themed issue for the fall. And so I think those kinds of decisions, definitely, I think giving those decisions to students just helps them feel a sense of ownership over it. So that's my perspective.
Yeah. My role was the same when I handle the Tuxedo. I don't do that anymore, but the idea is to allow students to, you know, generate their own ideas, their own work, and their own strategies for gathering and collecting works by other students. One of the hardest things about the Tuxedo is getting other students to submit. So, you know, shout out to all those people who contribute or submit to Tuxedo. Continue to do so and tell your friends.
Oh, also, I wanted to add, it's www.tuxedoartsjournal.com, so I think that's just a small correction from before.
Well, it's good that we got that in there. Well, I'm glad you guys came by, and I'm glad that, you know, that you guys are supporting people being creative and helping curate, because I think that's a very important skill that not many people get experience with. So I just wanted to thank you guys for coming out here.
Thank you
for having us.
Yes, thank you so much for being here and telling us about the programs. Again, this is Caitlin. Again, this is Kat. And you're listening to radio.dominican.edu at 102.3 FM. And thanks for listening, and I hope you have a great Thursday.